the September 25th Super Bundle Mess Extravaganza. So we had a lot of social media stories this week, but it broke down into government using social media to control things and social media, like technology policy, business news. Like, we're making money in social media. So we have social media stories in both.
Well, I think a better way to put that is government trying to control social media and social media trying to control the population.
So on this week, yeah. Government misunderstands technology. Today's episode is about how the government is misunderstanding technology and using it to enslave populations. And also the social media.
Sometimes via social media. That's kind of how it goes. So the first one is the good old FCC. I like to lead with the FCC. I like to get the audience good and angry, you know, get their blood up. I can pay attention.
It's like, who thought this was a good idea? Why does this? I don't understand. So the FCC has angered cities and towns with a $2 billion giveaway to wireless carriers. But this is a more interesting story when you dig into it. This has to do with the right-of-way fees. And so, like, if you run a small town and you know, a wireless carrier wants to come in, you can charge for access to the poles and access to this. But it's not standardized nationally. It's up to every different little town and fiefdom and, you know, creek and hollow and I don't know what else you call small towns.
Well, it is now. So they've set the limit on what you can charge to put one of those cancer-causing
micro towers,
small towers. They're not. I mean, they're not even towers. They're just little boxes, basically, but that you hang somewhere.
The thing that was not in this article that the journalists really should have looked into is, does this make it easier for Google to get access to those poles? Because they really fought tooth and nail to get access to those poles.
Well, but I think the real story here is, traditionally, you could charge whatever you want. So they come into your town and you're like, no, we don't want to put that there. We're going to charge more. Or, you know, this is a bother to us. So you're going to have to pay for us to deal with the bother. But what the FCC has done is they've set a standard fee, and it's low. It's like $100 or $200. And then a maintenance fee, which is also so much a month, that's very low. And you can't charge more than that or you'll be sued by the FCC. So basically, the big providers can put these boxes wherever they want. I mean, what's $100 to Verizon?
Yeah.
Nothing at all. And the municipalities are kind of powerless to deal with how annoying that might be.
something states' rights.
And of course, there are, we talked about last week, there are the states that don't want the 5G towers anywhere. And that might be bad science. Who knows? Yeah. It's hard to say. But
obviously, cell towers use ionizing radiation.
And maybe that's how they can fight back. Is like, okay, if you only want to pay us $200, we're afraid of cancer. You can't do this. But you bump that up to like $10,000, maybe we don't care so much about the cancer.
There's probably a lot more not in my backyard as opposed to cancer. But yeah, I mean, this story actually could be for good or evil. And this is why I'm like, you know, as corrupt as Ajit Pai seems to be, just based on outward observations, this is obviously in the best interest of larger corporations, but it might also happen to be in the best interest of people, maybe, possibly.
I don't know. You apply the old who benefits question to it, and immediately you see that they calculate it at $2 billion. So basically it's a subsidy for 5G because the taxpayers, if there is extra maintenance, then now it falls to the taxpayers because they can't be billed.
Well, I can see that if you're in, you know, a hollow or a creek or a burrow or something, that the maintenance cost for maintaining those 5G towers would be a lot less than, say, New York City, where you just pop open the sidewalk and it's, you know, a veritable data center under every slab of concrete.
What about that great GIF where the guy opens up the radio tower and it's full of nuts, with squirrels? Who pays for that? That's going to be taxpayer money now.
Yeah.
Thanks, nice. Pi. Now, switching over to a big block of EU and or UK, I don't think we should separate them yet. I'm going to wait till that's official.
We got to have the level one Brexit celebration. This is maybe our 100th episode, too, so I don't know.
Who knows?
Maybe 101st episode, depending on if you count from zero.
So, yeah, Ireland, we've been talking about this story forever, and this is a little bit of a milestone, but we're years away from settling this. Basically, they've moved some money from Apple's account to an escrow, but nobody's getting it yet.
So Ireland agreed to give Apple a sweetheart deal if Apple put some call centers or some data centers or something in Ireland. And that amounted to about $14 billion. And the EU said, oh, wait, Ireland, you didn't actually have the power to do that because those are EU taxes. Those are not, you know, taxes for Ireland. So we are still owed $14 billion. Obviously, Ireland is not going to pay that. The money's in escrow. We've covered all this before. I think the more interesting story is that Apple has so much cash that it's not worth the headache to argue over $14 billion.
But it's not $14 billion. Something like $2.7 billion of that is EU interest.
Okay, so it's like $11.3 billion or whatever.
Well, $3 billion is a lot of money to everybody except Apple. That's crazy. And you got to think that, well, if Apple wins, which seems unlikely, does that interest go away?
You ever go out with somebody that like that friend, and it's like, you know, you're going to split the appetizer or whatever, and it comes out to like $5, and you're like, hey, did you ever get that $5? And it's just like, it's just so much of a headache to deal with them that it's like, you know what? I just don't even care about the $5 anymore. It's like that, but on billions upon billions of, like, that's how a cavalier Apple is about the $5 billion or whatever.
But the other school of thought is you relentlessly hound them about it so that they leave you alone and dodge you. And then you avoid them for the rest of your life at the cost of $5.
We know which way the EU plays it.
Oh, they want that. They don't want Apple out because they want to keep collecting those fees. They're like the credit card companies. They want Apple to keep resisting and making those late payments so they can pocket that money. Well, continuing on in the EU is, they are kind of on a war path with the big tech companies. They don't like them. And so they're taking steps, and the first in their crosshairs is Amazon.
The European Competition Commission has started looking at merchants on Amazon's and the use of their data. So this is more to do with like customer data and how merchants can get hooked up into the Amazon place than really what Amazon is doing internally. It almost seems like if you as a merchant are cooperating with Amazon, it puts your competitors at a disadvantage because it's you plus Amazon.
Well, I think another thing they're arguing is that Amazon they control the marketplace. So they get the customer data. Whether it's you doing it or whether it's a third party doing it, as Amazon, you get the data. So then you apply that data to better serve the customers and figure out what they want, but the third parties don't benefit from that. So that's part of it.
Well, Walmart has been doing that since the 80s.
But you can't, I mean, if as a small business, you can't go to Walmart and be like, hey, I'm going to be a storefront. I'm going to set up a tent outside and just, you know, catch your customers as they come in.
Well, it's more like the deal that Lando had with the Empire, where Walmart is like, oh, we want to carry your product, but here's our terms. And then they just sort of keep altering the terms until the company that made the product goes out of business and Walmart buys the IP for a song.
Yeah, but that's a little bit different because in not every case, Amazon's not always doing the fulfillment.
Oh, I was thinking more like Whole Foods. Like eventually they're like, wow, this market segment makes a lot of money. Let's take it over.
No, this is like, you know, when you go on Amazon, you're buying something that's like sold by Amazon and fulfilled by Bob, or sold by Bob and fulfilled by Bob, and then that's not a Prime item. So you quietly ignore it. So Bob's customer data and transaction data is being gobbled up by Amazon, but he benefits not at all from that.
Well, so the next step would be for Amazon to just take over Bob's market.
Right, segment. They figure out how to better serve Bob's customers and do so.
Yes.
At the expense of Bob's data.
That's what Walmart has been doing forever.
So, oh, you mean like with the great value stuff?
Yeah.
It's still a little bit different because and I guess in both cases you're not forced to do it. But there is that idea that, like, I don't know if it's still like this, but getting your product into Walmart was...
I'm going to retire.
That's the golden ticket because there's so many of them. Yeah. Well, a little bit of good news. Mostly it's just, you know, the EU stomping on people's throats who may or may not deserve it. But here's one I think we can all agree definitely deserved it. But that silver lining is so thin.
Equifax has been slapped with the UK. This is excitingly reported.
It's a maximum.
Maximum.
Must be huge, right?
$500,000.
$500,000. What is that? How many people? It was like 20 million?
The article was quick to point out that GDPR, under GDPR, it could be 4% of Equifax's gross profit, which would be a much better fine.
But that's literally pennies per victim. It's a shockingly small amount. So, well, yeah.
I mean, okay. So, actually, I'm rethinking this. It's like the executive that was looking at it, and they were like, you know, if we spend $5 more on our computer, it's not worth it. Because if we get, you know, if we lose all of our data and we get fined, it's going to cost less than maintaining our computers. The best decision for the shareholders is to keep this thing running with mailing wire and duct tape.
Now, the other thing to think about here is this committee, whoever they are, spent over a year looking into this to decide to give it the maximum fine, right? So how much of that $500,000 did they chew through with their salaries and spending and costs?
That's a good point. It's probably over $1 million.
You think we lost money?
We did.
Net?
Well, you Euros lost money.
I'm saying the human race.
Oh, the human race.
I don't discriminate based on land boundaries.
Well, that's what that Apple money is going for in that case.
So that's just disgusting. Yeah, and I guess that a lot of the, you know, pro GDPR people will champion that and be like, yeah, that's why we did it, so we can hit them next time. But remains to be seen. Now, another thing that the Euros are well, actually, this is the UK. Once again, they're kind of the same right now. They're saying that they're tired of tolerating Bitcoin.
It's time to regulate Bitcoin. This cryptocurrency industry is leaving investors vulnerable. So once again, it's about dumb investors. This stock photo, though, that's an AGP graphics card. What are they doing with an AGP graphics? Like, it was very distracting while reading this article, because it's like they've got the, like, Bitcoin's not a coin. Okay, whatever. But it looks like they've got it plugged, like, just on the other side of an old school motherboard with a crappy AGP graphics card.
Well, we've often talked about the ridiculousness of the Bitcoin stock photos. No one knows how to graphically represent a Bitcoin, and they never will. But the thing about this is they're saying that the volatility of the market leaves their poor, poor, unknowing, stupid people. This is always the message. Our people are so stupid. Listen, over here in the UK, bunch of morons. They don't know that the cryptocurrency market is volatile. So we must protect them. We must protect him for these things.
A fool and his money are soon separated. Isn't that like an ancient Chinese proverb?
Well, but this ain't ancient China, they're saying. This is the new world. Time to get with it. They're also talking about the insecurity, and that definitely is something we see every single week.
Yeah.
And it's the big exchanges that are getting hit too, not individuals. So,
I mean, can you imagine the New York Stock Exchange with Equifax's attitude toward IT and security?
Well, here, you can't make that comparison with security, but with volatility, you ever look at penny stocks? Well, those would go to zero real fast. And you can lose a lot of money. So I don't think the volatility argument is very strong. Maybe the security argument. But again, you have to wonder, what are taxpayers going to invest to have these people regulate Bitcoin? And what are they going to do to help?
I love the penny stocks. Where I'll get an email and it's like, this thing's going to the moon. And it's like, only because somebody is pumping a bunch of money into it so they can get out.
Yeah. They had that great arc on The Sopranos. Webistics, where, like, they literally had guns to the heads of the guys on the phones trying to sell it. Well, the EU, following on in the EU stories, so many this week. The Justice Commissioner, yes, Justice Commissioner, that's a thing. She has quit Facebook and described it as a channel of dirt.
This is so exciting because it's you can tell that this person was probably not super experienced with computers. But she was sort of expecting, like, the Facebook machinery to be more humanized, maybe a little bit more anthropomorphized. Like, this is a thing that's permitted on this platform? I don't think she understood.
Well, it was individuals hating her. And I wonder why would individuals send terrible messages to this woman because of her position in the government? Who would have anything bad to say about her position? It makes no sense, but it wasn't Facebook doing it. Like, what does she expect Facebook to do? To, like, filter and make them nice?
Yes. They literally expect that a keyboard, like, something will pop out of your keyboard and inject you with happy pills. And that's not happening is the problem.
So, yeah, she quit her Facebook account and spoke out against it. And that was, you know, while talking about regulating and getting in front of this and how awful it is. And human beings should not be subjected to people that don't like them. And speaking of Facebook and the government, I think they're trying to make a show of force here because they don't want more attention. And so they've decided to create a quote-unquote war room.
I think this is, so our regulators, this is a show for our regulators, but if there is some sort of threat from a foreign government, they're just looking at this and laughing.
Yeah. Do you think there's fighting allowed in the war room?
Do you think there's a code of conduct in the war
room? Oh, there's probably several. So they're literally building a new room. It's like on the Facebook campus, you can't find an entry conference room to use for a couple of weeks. I don't know. But this is, you know, pre-election. They're going to really double down on, they're monitoring all the major news channels and all the stuff that's going on Facebook. And they're really looking to real time try to find people trying to influence the election.
And this is going to be somehow a good thing? Like, what prevents somebody from using this power to subtly manipulate the election any which way they want?
Yeah, well, influencing... What's the difference? When you say influencing an election, as if that's a bad thing, what is campaigning?
What are ads?
I mean...
We will make people eat pork bellies, by God.
Obviously.
And also women smoking.
People have a vested interest in who wins an election. And whether they be American citizens or Putin. And that's been called campaigning. I guess the transparency maybe needs to be there. But Facebook is not looking to add transparency so much. I mean, their ad platform still leaves a lot to be desired, as pointed out by the ACLU.
Are you buying ads on Facebook? Guess what? You can exclude women, including if you have a job ad. And apparently recruiters are like, let's just not advertise to women.
Yeah. Now, they've been criticized a lot in the past for the race-based ad targeting. And they were sort of like, oh, okay, we'll do away with that. But now they're being attacked on gender. Because when you, it's a self-serve ad program and you can just check boxes. Here's who I want to see my ad. And Facebook knows so much about you that they can do that. So male, female was up there. Do you think they had only two genders? Because that would be even worse, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's funny because the actual gender Facebook thing is more than two options. But I was
thinking, I bet the ad one isn't, though.
I was thinking more about, like, so there's a law that we have in America that you can't advertise a job that is, like, it's illegal to say that this job is for men only or this job is for women only. I guess that's the thing. But you can say that there's certain physical requirements, like you must be able to lift 40 pounds over your head or whatever.
But that's, like, okay. Well, they weren't doing that. This no. is just, yeah. like, secretly you would say, don't show this to women.
Yes. But I think that, think about products, like feminine hygiene products, like products that are only for women. Would you exclude advertising for men in that case?
And would there be a problem with that? Are you asserting that to be a woman, you have to have a vagina? Because that is hate speech and I will not tolerate it.
That's a preview of things coming later.
That's already happening everywhere.
I'm just going by the numbers here. I'm not, you know.
Listen, numbers, it's not about numbers. It's about how you feel.
It's not. I'm not saying that you can't, like, that I identify this way. Options should be taken away from the checkbox. I'm just saying that if you fill out the checkbox a certain way, you're probably not interested in certain other things, like statistically.
You're on the razor's edge.
I am. Speaking of other people on the razor's edge.
Well, I think they're way over the edge. You remember the travel ban that people were real upset about? Well, Google, they had a little internal discussion saying that they might want to find ways around it.
This is another one of those times where Level One has deliberately juxtaposed some different news stories. So Google workers discussed tweaking search functions to counter travel ban. This sounds like functionally, the functional requirements of this feature, quote unquote, of a search engine, sounds an awful lot like what Facebook is doing with their war room.
Yeah, this targeted Middle Eastern and Latino people who would maybe be affected by the travel ban. So if you searched for things that they might, that made them think you were one of those people, they were thinking, they never did this, by the way, but they were thinking about adding links to try and help you fight back against the travel ban as their way of striking back against a policy they disagreed with.
So is it that the war room and this kind of feature would accurately represent and preserve the will of the people? or is it subtly influenced by the people who are implementing these features?
Well, a lot of the new movement asserts that the will of the people is incorrect. And it's sort of like that.
We must re-educate them.
It's the right side of history argument. And, you know, I mean, slavery may be a good example of that, because a lot of the people were pro-slavery, and that was probably wrong. But
probably.
It is. It's sort of like, like you say, it's a small group of people deciding what's right and wrong. And that's, you open up a history book, it doesn't work. You can't do it like that. And speaking of which...
Speaking of opening history books.
A small group of people being the attorneys general of various states and, of course, Sessions are equally against the big tech companies as the EU.
The Louisiana AG has literally asked Jeff Sessions to break up Google, Facebook, and Twitter. And it's just, I don't, like, reading this, I get the feeling this guy could not be more of a Luddite.
Probably true. Now, his argument is that this is the same as United Oil, which was the it was the early 20th century, like 1911 or something like that. We broke them up because they had more money than anybody.
I don't think Google or Facebook or Twitter have hired thugs to go harass politicians and let them know that they can be killed.
But you know what's funny is who's not mentioned here are Amazon and Apple, the two big dogs, number one and number two in the universe.
The trillion-dollar companies,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah, I mean, the
trillion-dollar club.
And maybe you're afraid of them, so you maybe they're paying to have the other ones broken up. But yeah, I wonder, would it really be that good of a thing to break them up? How would we break? Would Gmail, like, spin off to its own entity?
I don't even know how that would work.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you would keep them all separate, because the interconnectivity of the whole thing would still need to exist.
We could go to APIs. Actually, if anything, Amazon would be more readily be able to be broken up, because they have concentrated so heavily on API interfaces between their business units that really not a lot would change. Like, the Amazon Web Services stuff could be its own thing.
That's true.
And all of the Amazon business units that use the API interface for that would continue. I think Amazon's probably still even ahead of Google in terms of the API interfaces between its business units for doing things.
But then you get into a situation where, you know, like, is the Amazon store realistically ever going to consider a competitor for their data hosting services? I think they're still going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Maybe from a tax standpoint, we get more money from them. And we do undertax them. But then there's that global competition.
You know,
are they going to go to Ireland? Because Ireland plays ball. We know they do. They are game for some taxes.
I am very surprised how hard Ireland is fighting the EU on this.
It's so funny. It's like, you will not give us money. We will not take $14 billion. We will. You'll have to stuff that $14 billion into our cold, dead hands.
Maybe it's like the poorest parts of America. Maybe Ireland is so poor that they're like, look, we'll take, you know, $100 million. And that's going to be life-changing for literally every one of our citizens. But we're not so greedy that we'll take $14
billion. But it's a smart... If you take a $14 billion payment, put it right in the pocket of the government, what's going to happen? They're going to waste it.
Yeah.
They're going to spend it, and it's going to be stupid stuff. It's going to be those pork bills. But you create the subsequent number of jobs that $14 billion represents, and your economy gets a lot better.
Yeah.
So
good job, Ireland.
Could be a smart thing. Well, not to be left out in terms of discrimination, all the big tech companies, they like to discriminate on an equal basis.
I love this story.
That's the great thing about them.
This is IBM, and we've covered this story before, but discovery is happening now. IBM is being sued for age discrimination after firing thousands of workers. And literally, like, if you look, like, all of the stuff up till now, when you looked at it, was like, well, this does seem kind of ageist. I mean, it seems like IBM was sort of culling, you know, some stuff here. And you can make the argument that, like, okay, the old dog's working on the mainframe stuff, there's not as much business in the mainframe business unit. Let's wind that down, and it'll be fine. But there's a lot of really amazing stuff that has come out from this lawsuit, like a lot of old dogs working on some of the most profitable teams in the company, and all of the people that were over, like, 45 were fired.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of the people in charge at these tech companies believe that they have to chase that brass ring of Google and Facebook.
Yeah.
They need a young, hip workforce because that's the only way they're going to be able to compete with this new tech world. Yeah. But once you undermine all of the infrastructure and you have all the blue hairs, what's going to happen?
It will fail.
Somebody has to step in and fill that gap.
The other thing that's coming out of this lawsuit is that a lot of the younger workers are willing to work like 60, 80 hour weeks, and they're willing to just, the IBM can't do some of these things legally. Like, they can't force the situation. And a lot of the older workers are like, you know what? I'm putting in like my 40, my 45, because that's reasonable. And I'm not going to put up with this BS. And then like management tries to have a fire drill and everybody, it's like, oh, you know, gosh, we're going to lose the customer if we don't do this, and like tries to freak everybody out. And the old people that have been through that every other week for the last 50 years are like, yeah. And so somehow that's parlayed into, we got to fire those people because they're not team players. But that's not going to work out for them in court.
You know, I never add them because it's not necessarily tech news. But on all the various places we look for tech news, they constantly have these articles where it's like, university study shows that we should have a 3-day work week, or we should have like a 5-hour day, and life will be so much better. And it's like, wow, that's, talk about ivory tower. That is just never going to happen because of things like this.
Yeah.
You know, there's always somebody who's going to be willing to do the crappy job.
Yeah.
And they're just going to boot you out and pull them in.
Yep. Thanks, IBM.
Which is unfortunate. Well, it wouldn't be business news. Actually, this is government news, right? It wouldn't be government news either unless we talked about Tesla.
We got 3 Tesla stories this week, I think.
Only one of them in this one, though. And in this one, this is the Department of Justice has now gotten involved in the funding secured scandal.
There was somebody last week in the news that was like, you guys didn't cover this. And it's like, yeah, it came out kind of late, so we didn't include it. But
September 18th, that was what, Tuesday?
Yeah.
So we couldn't have.
It's well, I think they announced they were going to do this on Friday just to see how, and then it was covered in more mainstream media by like Bloomberg by Monday or Tuesday. But yeah, the whole funding secured thing, turns out it's that's a crime.
Yeah. Securities fraud. Now, usually if they play this like they usually do, when a big company does something terrible like this.
He's just a genius. He doesn't know any better. He didn't mean any harm.
That'll kind of be like, if they play it fair, like let's say that Pepsi did this, they would pay a fine. That would be substantial, but not really in terms of their, you know, overall profit. But because Musk is who he is, they seem to be getting more pushback from the public.
Yeah.
And for the people who lost money. Because those short sellers are very vocal. And, you know, they
I can't wait for the next quarter earnings because they're going to be screaming hard if Tesla's still doing well.
Well, the stock definitely fell on that news. The SEC, this is different than the SEC probe, which we talked about before. So that's the securities probe. The DOJ probe is like, no, this was a criminal act.
Mm.
So that's not just fines. That's possible criminal charges.
I'm hearing all the details around this, and I'm visualizing the scene in the movie Mystery Men where they go and meet the mad scientist, and it's like, this is why we need a garden variety CEO instead of a mad CEO. And Musk is just laughing in the background.
Wow, that's a reference, isn't it? Well, the Senate, they're terrified. And what are they terrified of? The hackers.
The government, would you say that Luddite government freak out this week is at about a 9.5 out of 10?
Well, the elections are coming up, so, you know, you got to make all the noise you can.
There was a, this is the one where they switched to iPhones, isn't it? They're switching from Android to iPhones. I thought that was an interesting side effect of this.
I don't know if that's, you know, a correlation or causation, but they're just basically saying that we are constantly getting hacked. And sure enough, you know, somebody did some study and it was like, yes, you are constantly getting hacked. But that's true of most big businesses, anybody with money or power, of course. Yeah, there's going to be a constant attempts to hack you. That's why you have to understand security. And they clearly don't. So they just sort of sit back and cry and moan and get hacked.
I can't set my password to banana one. Why can't I set my password to banana one? Why is that insecure? I don't understand. It's like, turns out that's what you do when you want to give Russia control of your phone. I'm, you know, honestly, with the whole like Russia sleeper agent thing, I'm surprised that, I mean, that would be a great plausible deniability story. It's like somebody gets in real high and they just set their password to something ridiculous like, you know, pooty poot 123. And then it's all just downhill from there in terms of like state secrets being slurped up.
But that's probably been happening for 40 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, of course. And the key thing is, there is no chance that our spies aren't doing the same thing.
Yes.
We sort of, you know, we use Russia as this boogeyman hiding under the bed. And yet, who's in the bed? Yet another, probably better funded boogeyman with better technology. We talk about copyright violations a lot, and it happens constantly. And every once in a while, there's a lawsuit, but rarely does anybody do prison time for this.
So the guy who uploaded the Deadpool movie to Facebook may get 6 months in prison. Jeez.
Now, there's some mitigating factors here. He posted the entire Deadpool movie to Facebook. He downloaded it from a torrent, put it on Facebook, and you could just watch it on the Facebook player. Millions of people watched it. But obviously, a lot of people were like, dude, you can't do this. They're going to sue you into oblivion. And his response was, lol, no, they won't. And then he started another channel. It was like free movie uploads, many more to come. So it's hard to argue that he didn't know what he was doing. I think he knew very well what he was doing. Now, should copyright violations ever result in prison? Maybe that's another argument. But
it would be funny if it was easy to, like, if it was actually easy to deal with your media library, your grandma accidentally posts, you know, an iTunes movie to Facebook. That would be kind of funny.
She probably wouldn't go to jail.
No, I don't think she would.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens to that guy. His big plan for getting a lot of friends on Facebook by posting movies, it worked for a brief amount of time. So I hope he enjoyed. He also mentioned, the only thing that's going to happen is I'm going to get more famous. It was like a quote that he had. So this guy really didn't understand the situation.
That poor guy. Man.
Well, video game loot boxes, we've talked about them in the past. And I will continue to assert there is no difference between a video game loot box and a collectible unknown item that you buy.
A Beanie Baby.
And a blind box. Well, you know what you're getting with Beanie Babies.
Oh.
But I'm talking about like Pokemon cards.
Oh, where you just buy, or Magic cards. Or
and whatever. Not only, and in those instances, there is a rarity system built into the business model, just like there is with loot boxes. So I don't really see the difference. Loot boxes are terrible. They're a plague upon gaming. But should they be gambling is the question.
Do you think anybody will ever say, man, this story in this game really spoke to me in a way that it wouldn't have without loot boxes?
Well, I think most games with loot boxes aren't story-based. You know, they're competitive.
So just time killers.
And that's, well, like, what's that Diablo clone we've been playing?
Path of Exile.
So many of those people have the little pets and wings and stuff. And that's all.
You have to pay for
microtransactions. It's not loot boxes.
Yeah.
But it's microtransactions. So it's not really the same argument. But it is. It's like, wow, this is a free game. And there's no way to get those in-game, I don't think. But people are willing to throw that money just so you can see their avatar with this other stuff. So people do like it. Now, the argument here is gambling is an addiction, officially. And this preys upon that weakness.
You're going to roll the dice. It's like, oh, I got this thing.
Yeah, it's going to, it keeps bringing you back. But I think most of the mechanics in games are meant to, you know, it's like it's that feedback loop that keeps you endorphins.
It's a slippery slope. I mean, first it's loot boxes and then it's pay to win.
And it's, this is sort of like defending the Klan in terms of free speech. Like, you don't want to defend them because loot boxes, like, oh, microtransactions, another plague upon the gaming industry. A horrible, horrible thing. But I don't know. Where does it stop? It's an interesting argument. But it does seem like more and more governments are going toward calling that gambling. And should the government be stopping us from gambling is another question.
You know? They do in a lot of places.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. But I'm saying it's your money. You should be able to do what you want with it. And if you can't handle it, if you have a serious enough addiction that might bankrupt you, you probably shouldn't be gaming. You know, that's, maybe that's just not for you. Read a book.
Turns out.
And California, here's another, maybe a little silver lining. Sad that the government has to get involved here, but.
California is going to ban terrible default passwords on connected devices. So you can't have, you can't manufacture a router or something where every router has the same password because, as it turns out, criminals will exploit that and then you've got a botnet, and then it's really bad.
That's going to make it real tough to, you know, dig something out of the trash 10 years from now and get it going again.
There's got to be some way to reset the password, and manufacturers don't want to build that in either, and so it's just...
Or, like, how would you ever do that if they're not the same password? And if it has to hit a server, forget it. That server's going to be offline in 5 years.
Usually, the password's based on, like, a MAC address or a serial number. AT&T puts the password on a sticker on the modem.
So. I could, but see, those stickers could get removed.
Yeah.
Things could be filed off.
Yep.
So...
And then it's gone forever.
They made the language in that bill very vague. And some people argue that's a terrible thing because now the government can just they interpret it however they want. But other people are saying it's good because government's never going to keep up with security.
Well, pretty soon that law is going to be, you must have a secure password, except for our backdoor password, which must be in all devices, which is PootyPoot123.
Yeah, you must have the secure generated password and the government mandated generated password. At the same time.
It's like cable modems, because they've got the cable provider password that works as well.
Well, if you're in China, the Chinese love streaming. That's one thing to know about, live streaming.
They've got some kind of games event going on right now.
I can't remember what it was called, but yeah, it might be over by now. But they love to watch people do things on the stream, so much that they ban things like eating bananas and wearing underwear. But one thing that they won't be enjoying... Twitch.
You heard it here first, underwear banned in China. No, this was whatever game event was happening in China was being streamed on Twitch, because Twitch did work in China. Not great.
Well, it was it was the Chinese games or something like that, and there was an esports Asian games. The Asian games were going on in China. There's an esports arm of that, but the local Chinese television didn't carry that.
So they wanted to watch it on stream.
So they watched Twitch.
And it was on Twitch, and that's why Twitch was banned.
Which, I don't think there would be anything. Like, if it's the Asian Games happening in China.
Do you think China has a war room for responding to things that are suddenly popular on the internet?
They probably have several buildings. Probably one in each province.
Do you think they could teach anything to Facebook about how to set up an effective war room to be able to respond to it in real time?
Well,
to shape the conversation?
No. Because their answer to everything is just like, well, just block that. And Facebook's like, well, but what if they get around it like this? And it's like, well, just arrest them in a secret court. What are you not understanding here, Facebook? Well,
we've got the secret courts. I mean, we've got...
Well, luckily, Facebook doesn't have access to those.
Speaking of people teaching people stuff in China.
Yeah. Or China teaching American tech companies how to do things. Maybe is a better way to put that.
Google suppresses memo revealing plans to closely track search users in China. Because, again, that's the first ingredient to building... some sort of control mechanism. Let's call it a war room for the distribution of information.
This is a great graphic. Like, is this the memory hole? And that's Dragonfly, of course. And it's all in that communist sort of... That's a really great image. Who is this? The Intercept. Good job, Intercept. So the idea here, we've talked about Dragonfly. It's going to be on your phone. And it's going to track your phone number with every search result. And it's going to automatically filter things like Nobel Prize.
Or Tiananmen Square.
But when Google was questioned about it, they were like, we're looking at it. We're thinking it over. We're not sure yet. Well, this memo reveals that it's ready. It's basically done. And they put a huge amount of the workforce working on it. And there's been a lot of internal strife. And Google immediately went to, like, you know, DEFCON 3 to shut down this memo getting out, which obviously failed. But it does show that they are...
There goes their monetization.
They're very committed to Dragonfly, and it's basically ready to go, according to this memo.
That's exciting for a lot of reasons, but the most exciting reasons for that is if you've been following along, you should definitely think about those other stories about the war room and subtle manipulation and whatever your impression of China is.
I saw an article, nervous laughter. Some guy predicted that in 3 years, there will basically be two internets, and one of them will be China's internet. And some other countries will also get on board with that. And they'll just be like split down the middle. There'll be no interaction between the two of them.
Wow. So that does seem like where we're going.
Yeah. Because how else are they going to maintain that level of control? And if places like Google are willing to build the software to do that.
And run it on their network.
It's very realistic.
Yeah.
Well, if you think back to the inauguration of President Trump, boy, that was a time of unity in this country, wasn't it? Well, they had a problem with the CCTVs because in Washington, D.C., there's one of these on every street corner. The whole place is just blanketed with camera coverage. But somebody got in there and ransomwared practically the entire city. And they weren't very good at it. They left their Gmail. It logged in on one of them. So they caught them, and they have been charged.
I think they actually pled guilty. So it was a Romanian guy.
It was a girl, actually.
Or girl, yeah. Was it a girl?
It was a girl.
Wow. So that was exciting. This is all to do with, like, camera control, because it turns out internet-connected cameras are some of the most insecure things that you could ever have.
Well, each of those cameras are on Windows individually.
Because why not?
It wasn't super hard to get into them. They put ransomware on them and tried to get money, and again, they were terrible at it. So they have not been sentenced yet. I think they'll probably get the book thrown at them.
Yeah.
Because the DC internal people, they were like, oh, something's going on. And because of the inauguration, the Secret Service just immediately got involved, and they don't screw around. They found them quick.
I think it's unfortunate that this seems to have been just a garden variety malware scam and not actually, you know, the intelligence apparatus.
It was not Russia. I don't think Putin had any involvement here. That was definitely a headline at the time.
Yeah.
And it was a real, like, fear-mongering campaign that the media went on talking about those poor cameras.
They have control of our devices. We don't even know how. No, it's just malware.
I mean, they did have control. Well, but it wasn't that difficult.
The devices were also really crappy.
And they still are. Well, we talk about Google and China. And one thing that Google has been getting a lot of pushback on is dealing with China and dealing with the military. What was the name of that drone program they had? It was like something to do with vision.
Yeah, they wanted to do the vision processing system. And it was like, this is not a weapon. This is just to be used for, like, search and rescue or locate or whatever. And
Just full-on insurrection. Full-on, yeah, it's like, we are not doing this inside Google. And they actually dropped it, or so they say. You know, maybe they're doing the Dragonfly thing with it, where it's like, we're not doing that, but secretly there's a whole team. Well, the vacuum that was created by that is quick to be filled.
Magic Leap. Magic Leap, you may remember as the less than inspiring virtual reality headset that we saw a couple of weeks ago. It's bidding on an Army combat contract for augmented reality, because that seems like that would be a thing.
And I don't know how you go from that little man throwing a rock to full combat vision. But the idea is troops will begin training with this augmented reality. And it's not only is it a heads-up display, but basically it creates enemies as well for training. And then when you get into the field, it overlays actual enemies with the same training enemies. So it's the same experience in combat.
So how long before an enterprising Romanian hacks the software and puts that little overlay on your friendlies?
Well, not only that, but what about, you know, it's like you go through the training and you build that muscle memory, and then, you know, you invade, all the insurgents are coming for you, and then you pull off the augmented reality and, you know, it's an orphanage.
That's really dark.
Yeah, but that's totally, totally within the realm of possibility.
I could also see the AI, like, instructing a squad to do stuff, and each individual squad member doesn't know what they're doing. And then at the end, it's like, all right, now connect, you know, tab A to slot B, and it's just eight people. They suddenly assemble a nuclear device, and it's like, guess what? You guys were a suicide squad. Sorry. See ya.
That would be interesting to do that kind of precision work all through augmented reality. But the good news probably is Magic Leap is not going to be able to do this at all. Their technology is garbage.
Yeah. It's like, is this a state-sponsored actor that's taken over our CCTV? It's like, nope, it's just faulty. Is this a state-sponsored actor that's, you know, causing our headgear to, you know, kill soldiers that are friendly? It's like, nope, it's just malware.
And Microsoft is also presumably chasing this contract with their HoloLens. But the other thing about it is both of those products are really not made for extreme conditions.
No.
And this would have to be all weather.
It would be 10 or 20 years before we could get that thing weatherized to the point that it's going to have to basically be an eye implant or something.
Well, they got the tooth phone. Now they get the ARI implant. So it can drown out the screams of the children as you're gunning them down.
You're literally living the pyro intro from the Valve game.
Yeah, you get a little pump that pumps endorphins directly in, you know, like in your brain somewhere.
Do you believe in magic?
Every time you get a kill, gives you like, you know, 2 CCs. Well, now this is a story that...
It's their last government story.
At first, I was feeling like full-on conspiracy about this one because it was a lot of coincidence. But as more facts emerge, maybe legit.
Cody Wilson, who is the 3D printed gun guy, he made the model or whatever. He's been arrested in Taiwan.
Defense distributed.
We've covered it before.
They came up with the 3D printed files and made those available. But they also have the ghost gunner that they sell that you can make aluminum parts out of. Well, yeah, he probably had sex with a 16-year-old girl. Mm. But it is a little suspicious because he did so on a website.
That requires people to be 18.
Yeah, they claimed a screen for that. So he could have not known. He could have easily not known. And could this girl have been sent by the feds? Could this whole thing have been set up? I think you could argue that it would still probably be a bad idea to use sugardaddymeat.com.
Does stuff like this happen way more often than the average citizen realizes?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you think if this was just this girl being on this website when she shouldn't have, do you think he's the only guy she's had sex with?
No.
Do you think any of them have been prosecuted?
No.
So he went to Taiwan after he found out.
Oops.
Maybe he was running. Maybe he wasn't. He hadn't been charged with a crime. So technically he wasn't running. And then the charges were made and the Taiwanese government, now they don't extradite, but they decided to cooperate in this instance because his passport was pulled.
Hmm.
So he is being returned. He's probably back by now and he will face these charges. It's between 2 and 20 years.
Wow.
And a comically, it's like a $500 fine on top of that. Which is a weird thing for underage sex. So yeah, that's a sad day for the Second Amendment freedom movement. But I think this was just some really poor decision making.
So you can get those 3D printed files online. Somebody don't upload them to Thingiverse because I guess there's still a court case going on for that as well.
Well, I think they have some sort of injunction that they can't do it, but for other individuals, you're not prevented from providing them. I don't take my word for that. Look into your local laws before you spread those files around. But they were appealed to be okay. And then there was like an emergency injunction pending the settlement of that case.
What a mess. So what we got tomorrow's business.
Tomorrow is purely business. We went ahead and mixed social media and a couple other smaller ones.
There's a lot of tech news in the business news as well from the business angle. So
that's where the bulk of it usually is.
Yeah. Because the new NVIDIA cards are out and no one can buy them. Only media.
So, stay tuned for it.